Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
So this morning, as we come to the third deposit on our grace value, we said that the grace value of generosity, relational, active, Christ-like, and excellent is what we want to have in this church, and also not in this church, but also at the home, and also at the place where God has placed you, the people that surround you, the people that you come in contact with. And so today, we are going to talk about this grace value of active. Active. And it's important for us to recognize that God wants us to be active, not uninvolved, not being passive or not being disconnected. But God wants us to be active. Active in our life. Physically, we need to be active. How many of you realize that? If you physically are not active, it's no good for you. Not only you put on weight, you can also change address faster. So you need to be active. And if you need to be active physically, how about spiritually being active? I wonder if in the physical sense, they tell you that you should exercise at least 15 to half an hour a day. In the physical sense, I wonder, in the spiritual sense, if we do it the same, 15 minutes or half an hour a day with God, reading the Bible or praying to Him, how would that affect your life? How would that affect your life? I'm sure it will affect your life. You know, and it's so important for us to recognize, you know, that if we physically do what is necessary and also spiritually do what is necessary, it will add value and life into us, you know. And one thing I know about being active, you can talk about it, but you will never do it unless you are what? Intentional about it. Maybe that's the reason why I have a dog, so that I go and walk. You have to be intentional in everything you do, whether it's physically or spiritually. So what is the area that I want you to be active about? I know some people say, Pastor, I'm very active. Are you sure? Yes, I'm very active. I'm active about my life. I'm active about getting more money. I'm active about my work. I'm active about many things that is in the physical, that is in the, what you call, the dimension of what you can see. But whatever it is, the Bible says, whatever you can see is only what? The word temporary. But I'm not very active about something that I cannot see. Because the Bible says that what you cannot see is what? Eternal. And it's sometimes so easy to be caught up with the physical activities, with the natural activities, and we neglect the spiritual activities. So, in the spiritual activities, what do you need to be active about? You know, this is Jesus Christ. We are supposed to follow whose example? The example of Jesus Christ. If you look in the book of Luke, you know, chapter 2, verse 49. And the book of Luke presents Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. And the first recorded word in the book of Luke, it said that Jesus Christ was active and busy about the Father's business. Father up there has a business. And He asked you to come and work in His business. I know that in the natural, not everybody likes to work for their father. They want to do it themselves. But Father has a business, and it's called the Father's business, and Jesus was active in the Father's business. He was active in the Father's house, and He was active in the Father's work. Our Father there has a business, has a work, has a house. Someone has to look after it. One thing for sure, God, the Father cannot go outside to talk to a non-believer to look after His work. How many of you realize that? He can't. So who is going to do after His work? Who is going to look after His house? Who is going to look after His business? It is who? It is you. Being active. Because Jesus Christ said this in John chapter 4, verse 34, the food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me, finish the work He started. He said that, the food. Wonder, when He was at the well, and the disciple went a way to find food, and he was busy speaking to the woman at the well. And when the disciple came back, and Jesus said, I'm already full. I already eaten. Say, who give you meat? Because Jesus said this, my meat is to do the work of my Father. There's one dimension that you need to realize. In the physical, you can eat and be filled. But in the spiritual, if you just receive and receive and receive and don't do the work of the Father's business, the Father's work, and the Father's house, you will never be filled. How many realize that? You'll never be filled. So Jesus said that my food is to do the work of my Father. And then he said this in John chapter 5, verse 17, verse 8. My Father is always working, so am I. Now he said that in John chapter 9, verse 4 to verse 5. We must quickly carry out the task assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. Wow. Every work that God has for me is only done on this earth, in this dimension. And Jesus said, the night will come where you cannot work. We do not know how much time do we have as a person on this earth. But one thing I know for myself, I want to do the work of the Father. I want to be involved in the Father's house, in the Father's business until my last breath. So Jesus is active. And he's always active. You know, you need to realize one of the reasons why we are not active in God's work is because we have this word called what? Excuses. Man, we can cook up excuses from the left and from the right. We are able to pour excuses from our head. But I want you to know today, there is no excuses. That when you stand before God, God do not accept your excuses. Your excuse of I'm too tired, it's too hard, I'm too busy, it's too early. To God, there is no excuses. And so, I encourage you, be active in your faith, be active in your hope, be active in your love. Be active in reading the Bible. Be active in praying. Be active in serving. Be active in sharing the gospel. And I want you to know, there is no room for excuses. Don't try and tell somebody, no excuses. So today, we have been looking from the book of Acts using disciples, not disciples that have like Peter or those others who have walked with Jesus. But we are talking about just ordinary disciples. Just like you. And just like me. Ordinary disciple in the book of Acts. And the one that we want to talk about to use an example of being active and how you can be active is Ananias of Damascus. He's not the Ananias that came and lied to Paul about his generosity. Of course, he died. Another wife came, and also the wife, you know, cooked up this story with the husband, and he also lied, and she died. We are talking about the Ananias of Damascus. He is just an ordinary disciple, and God got him to do extraordinary work, you know. And this is what I need you to recognize, that God somehow chose the thing of this world that is considered foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. Then God chose those that are powerless. God, I got no strength, I got no ability, I'm not smart enough, I don't have degree after degree, I don't have a big bank account, but all I have is just me. And God chose the powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose those that are despised by the world. Those that are counted as nothing. And use them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. So that the end of the day, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 to verse 29, so that the end of the day, as an honorary disciple of Jesus Christ, used by God for extraordinary things. The end of the day, I can only say one thing, I have nothing to boast about. The only thing I can boast is God who is living in me, Christ that is in me, the hope of His glory, the ability that He has given to me. So that all glory is not given to you, to man, but to who? To Him. So, Ananias of Damascus was such a man, just an ordinary man. If you turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 10, a certain disciple, verse 10 tells us, thanks to this certain disciple named Ananias of Damascus, he was not an apostle or a great preacher or an outshining leader. You know, he was not one with outshining personality or charisma, but just a certain disciple. And I would say that many of them may not even recognize him because he could be just as quiet as a mouse. Sometimes when you sit in there, you may think, who noticed me? But yet this certain disciple, you know, God noticed him. God noticed him. And I'm telling you, this certain disciple may not make much noise. Noise attracts people. The more noisy you are, the more attraction you get. Do you know why some people are so noisy? They get all the attraction. But Ananias was a quiet disciple. He was a silent disciple. He could worship and nobody knows. Yet Ananias had done much for the kingdom of God. Only God saw him and knew about him. In fact, if the Bible didn't record him in Acts chapter 9, we would not even know a man by the name of Ananias of Damascus. But he was a man, just an ordinary disciple that God used to go to a man called Saul, who was on the road to Damascus with a mission to destroy the church. But God knocked him out of the horse and he was blind. And God needed to send a man. And God found this man, Ananias. I want you to know, there are three attitudes of Ananias of Damascus that you need to be that disciple who can be active in loving God, loving one another, loving the lost, and active in the service and the work of the Lord. The first attitude you need to have is, I am available. Say this with me. I am available. Look at verse 10 to verse 12. Now where there was a believer in Damascus named Ananias, the Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he replied. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. Where you get there, ask for the man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now, and I show him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in, laying his hand on me so that he can see again. Someone must go to minister to Saul. God could use angel. God could send a vision. God could even speak from heaven and say, Ananias, open your eyes. But God decided to choose a man, an honorary man. And he did not choose Peter or one of the apostles. He chose someone that is unknown. And all Ananias need to do is to say to God, I am available. I am available. And I want you to know, when you are willing to say yes to God, I am available. What opportunity open for you? What doors open for you? But because you are not available, you cannot experience the breakthrough and the miracle that God has intended for you. All your prayer would have been answered if you just said, yes, God, I am available. Here was a man, Ananias. God called Ananias. I don't know whether it's that small for Ananias? Or Ananias? I don't know. But one thing I know, when God called Ananias, he said, here am I. I'm available. God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I'm sure sitting in the midst of me, there are men who, and women that God has called you to do something. We shake our head. Cannot be. Impossible. How could it be? It doesn't come as a loud voice. It may come as a plumbing in your heart. When you see some need, something, the heartbeat increases. I can do something. But it's not done. Because you have made yourself unavailable. Ananias, say, yes, Lord, I'm available. Here am I. I'm available to go wherever you send me. I'm available to do whatever you call me to do. I'm available for your assignment. I'm telling you this word, here am I, it's an important word, because when you say, here am I, you are saying, God, I'm available, I'm responsible, I'm here. Remember God called Abraham? What did Abraham answer? He said, here am I. God called Jacob. He replied, here am I. God called Moses. He replied, here am I. God called Samuel. He replied, here am I. God called Stephen, and he said, I'm not here. Can you send some other people? No. Here am I. But when God called Adam, he replied, I'm afraid, I'm naked, I'm ashamed. I wonder if God were to call you today, what would your reply be? What would your reply be? But when Ananias replied, when God called him, he said to God, I am available. And I want you to know it's so important that we have this attitude, God, I'm available. Because this is the attitude of Christ. Christ said, I am available to take the place of sinful man. I'm available to live heaven's glory and dwell among sinful men. And I'm available to take the place of judgment. I'm available. This week, be available. When the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, when God's word speaks to your heart, be available. Be available, because God wants to use you to touch others for Jesus Christ. God wants to use you to be able to be his mouth, his hand, his leg, his eyes, his ear, so that you can be active, being available to touch others with the love of God. A certain disciple named Ananias said, I am what? Available. Are you available? Are you? When God calls you, are you? Something about being in love. When you are in love, just a call of your name, not too loud, you can hear. But nowadays, my wife say, I call you, you aren't here. It's not that I don't love you more, but getting not so good in hearing, need a hearing aid. I wonder, some of us, do we need a hearing aid to hear what God calls us? Or because our ears have been so filled with so many things that we cannot hear when God calls us. My challenge to you, if you want to be active, firstly, be available. Secondly, you need to be willing. Look at verse 13 to verse 16. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. And he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who call upon your name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and the king, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Now, Saul, you know, had been creating havoc in Jerusalem. And so, he has got a piece of paper with authority for him to continue his havoc act. And you can be sure that the leaders in Jerusalem had written to Damascus, telling them, Chief, watch out, be careful, hide, this man Saul is now heading towards your location. So, news of Saul coming to Damascus, he must be told by the church over there, to the believers. And so, when you hear such news, it's obvious that mentally you have prepared yourself, you know, to be hunted down, to be arrested, to be imprisoned, or even martyred for Christ. Because Saul was a dangerous man. And here is God. And Ananias said, yes, here am I. Say, Ananias, I'm sending you to this man called Saul. This one. We move very fast. How many of you realize? When we want to think, we can think very fast. Straight away. Hey! So he turned around and said, but God, how could it be, God? You are asking me to go to Saul. It's like a lamb walking into the mouth of the lion. God, you are asking me to see Saul. He is a suicide mission. Instead of he hunting me, I'm going to tell him I'm here. Arrest me. So great fear creeped Ananias' heart. And not unreasonable for him to say, but God. It was a protest of fear. I may be killed. A protest of doubt. How could this be Saul becoming a believer? And what Ananias felt was not something imaginary. It was a real concern. But God commanded Ananias, go. Twice God said, go. Sometime, the things that God calls you to do, the things that God calls you to say or to be, is not easy at all. It's not easy at all. But are you willing? Are you willing? In spite of the danger, of the difficulty, of the risk of his own life, Ananias did not choose the easy road. He did not become like Jonah, who decided to take a cruise and discovered that it was not a very good cruise. He got thrown overboard. He was not like Ananias. He said, God, I'm willing to risk my life to obey you. I'm willing to risk my life. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, you must be willing to risk your job to stand for what is right. If your boss asks you to lie for him, you must be willing to say what? No. But I will lose my job. You must be willing to. Ananias was willing to risk his life to obey God. Are you willing? Ananias did not say, God, I know who is available. You don't have to send me. Send Ivan Kwa. Send some other people. No. Because you need to know when God calls you, God will empower you. He will give you the word to say. He will give you the ability. He will give you the bonus to face anyone, any situation. Because when God calls you, he knows you are the right person for the job. And he is working in both ends to make sure that it comes to pass. When God calls you, you are at the right place, at the right time, and you are the right person. The question is, are you willing? Are you willing? So Ananias overcame fear, doubt, and even prejudice, and was willing to go. Ananias could dismiss the opportunity, but he went. And because he was willing to go, God was able to empower him for the task. I recognize, and you need to realize that sometimes it takes a step of obedience, a step of willingness, a step of ability, that when you take that step, God is able to open the doors for you. But you are saying, God, open the door. I want to walk through. God said, no. If you just take that step, I will open the door for you. I will make things possible for you. So, it's not just a step of willingness. It's also a step of obedience and a step of what? Faith. This is the attitude of Christ. I'm willing to humble myself. I'm willing to do the Father's work. I'm willing to die on the cross. Are you willing? This week, say to God, I'm willing to say, willing to do, and willing to be what you want me to say, to do, and to be. I'm willing to serve others. I'm willing to minister to anyone that you bring along my path. I'm willing to touch and accept others on your behalf. I'm willing to love. I'm willing to build bridges. I'm willing. But sometimes, God, I do have some unwillingness. We all have. Just like the father that came to Jesus, I believe, but help my unbelief. Sometimes we need to say to God, I'm willing, help my unwillingness. Because I want you to know, when you are willing, you'll be surprised what doors and opportunity awaits a willing mind, a willing heart, and a willing hand. God, I'm available. God, I'm willing. And thirdly and lastly, God, I am faithful. Verse 17 to verse 18. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hand on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Instantly, something like scale fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight and he got up and was baptized. Thank God for this simple disciple, this unknown quiet hero who said, God, I'm available, I'm willing, but he's also faithful. He's faithful to carry out the instruction that God sent him to do. He put his hand on Saul. He put his hand on Saul. You know, God asked him, go put your hand on Saul. That was a simple, straightforward instruction. And one thing about Ananias, he never tried to complicate things. I want you to know this morning, the gospel is very simple. Don't complicate it. It's the simplicity of the gospel that people say, why is it so simple? Yet it's the simplicity of the gospel that has the power to save those who believe. So, a simple instruction given to Ananias. Ananias, when you go there, lay your hand on Saul. Straight, simple. And when he went to see Saul, he was faithful. He did not promote himself. He put his hand on Saul and said, the Lord, even Jesus, sent me. One thing about him I see, he was faithful to what he was to say. You know, God told him, so Ananias, go, lay your hand and say to him, Jesus has sent me to send you to you and he will suffer for me. But God told Ananias he will suffer, but God didn't tell him he will suffer. So he went there, he just lay hand and said what he has to say. Jesus has sent me. He did not go there to promote himself. He did not go there and say, hey, Saul, you sat on the high horse, now you're on the floor. With big eyes, you judge people, now you can't even see. Let me give you a piece of what I think about you. Before I lay my hand, and I know, you know, when I lay my hand, something's going to happen. Before something happens, let me tell you what I feel, what I think, what I want to say. Never. He went there, and he just laid his hand and said, Jesus has sent me to send you. That's all. He did what he was told to do. He spoke what he was asked to do. Though the task was a small task, he carried out the task 100%. And there's one thing you and I need to be aware of. God look at our faithfulness on small issue and small things. Some of you may say, God, I need bigger tasks. God said, be faithful with the little that is before you. Because the Bible promises us, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with great responsibility. God wants you to be faithful, even if it's little, insignificant, small thing. Ananias could say many things. He could even say to God, God, why call me to go and preach to just one man? Why can't I be like Peter, preach to 3,000 people? One man. He was faithful just to one man. And he went. If you are looking and waiting for bigger opportunity and neglecting the little and the small opportunity of your life, this morning I ask you, wake up. Every small opportunity leads to another opportunity, to another opportunity. Historians tell us that Ananias did become the elder of the church in Damascus because he was faithful with little things. How important for us this morning to come to a place, God, if I'm going to be active with the Father business, with the Father's work, with the Father's house, I must be what? Available. I must be willing. I must be faithful. How many of you would say yes? Yes. Ananias started with, but God. And I'm telling you, many times things cannot be carried out because we use the word, but God. When men use but God, it's one of objection, doubt, restraint, and fear, always negative and unwilling. But when God used, but God, I like those moments when God used the word, but God, not when you use or I use. When God used, but God, it means God stepping in. The compassionate and gracious God intervened. He redeemed, he resurrected, and he made all things new. He make a way when there seems to be no way, where all seems lost. God, what I have got to do, Lord? It's finished, God. No more. When God used the word, but God, it means hope, breakthrough, miracles, and deliverance is on its way. Today, God is still looking for not superstar. God is just looking for ordinary disciples. Like you, like me. To reach the needy, to bless those in the household of faith, to reach the lost for Christ. My question to you, are you available? If he calls you, will you say, here am I? Or will you say to him, call some other people? Or you pretend not to hear? Or you're so busy? Or you get yourself more busier so that you don't have to hear him when he calls you? Will you say, here am I? When he calls you, will you say, God, in spite of the difficulty of the unknown and uncertainty, I am willing, O God? When he calls you, will you say, God, I'm going to be faithful. Even how little it is, I'm going to be faithful. If you are, be active with the assignment that is before you. We are on this earth for assignment, say amen. We are not on this earth for consumption. We are here for assignment. One day when I stand before Jesus Christ, in which you will also have to stand before Jesus Christ, I don't want Jesus Christ to press. If those days in heaven, there's a button you press and drop all the things. Oh! And Jesus come up with a piece of paper and said, Steward, you have lived on this earth all this time, you are one of the great consumer. You have consumed 1,000 kilos of beef. I want to ask him, Lord, if it's 1,000 kilos, is it tenderloin or just the normal beef? You have consumed this, consumed that. So it's so easy for us that we can become active as consumer of the air, of the blessing, of everything that is around us. Become active in consuming. But I want to stand before God, and God said, son, you have been active in my work, in my business, and in my house. How many lives do I have? Just one life. I encourage you, be available, be willing, be faithful. Because God has assignment for you on this earth. There are people that God is going to bring across your path that I will never be able to touch. You can touch. There are people. Many years ago, when I just started to make money, and he was in the mid-80s, and started to make money. I was a sales rep. And I was selling Toyota forklift in the early days. And I'm telling you, those days, hey, folks, in those days, when you get 3,000, 4,000 in your hand every month, your commission for selling equipment, that those days, Henry, is that big money? That is big money. I was just starting to make money. And then one day, God spoke to my heart and said, hey, go to this person and give him money. He's a pastor, and I don't know him. I don't know him, but I know I was saying, hey, something. When God asks us to take money from others, it must be God. But when God asks us to give money to others, we have to check to make sure it's God. How many realize that? I was young. I said, God, I don't know him. I never talked to him before. Lord, I don't know. Go and give him money. So I went go to my pastor. I said, pastor, do you know where he stays? He said, yeah, his address. Thank you. So I didn't tell him what I was going to do. So I went to his house. He was staying in a HDB flat, and knocked at his door. And I said, I just want to give you this. I don't know him. He don't know me. I just want to give you this. And I walk. Then go in for a cup of coffee and just walk. Hey, tell you, those days when you give a few hundred dollars, it's a lot of money, you know. Just give. Just obey God. Because I told God, I'm willing. I'm available. It may be a small thing. I'm going to do it. 30 years later, he came to Perth, and he was speaking in Perth. He's a pastor, and he came and stayed in my house. So I remind him, do you remember me? I have to recall the story. He said, you are that fella. He said, yes, I was that fella. He said, you know what? That morning, my wife and me, we prayed. There was nothing left. This man was pastoring a church. He decided to go full-time and live by faith. He said, that morning we pray, we have children, we got no money left. So when you came and knocked at the door and give me that pack, and you just walk away, you know, it was an answer prayer. Did I know about that? Hey, that's not God. Just keep and walk. And I'm telling you to tell you, there are people that God may touch you to say something. Sometimes it's not money. Just say something that is kind, something that is wholesome. Such people are waiting. Are you available? Are you willing? Are you faithful? May we carry what we believe everywhere we go. Say amen to that. Not just in the house, not just in the home, but everywhere we go. May we become that light, that love that the world needs to see. Why don't we pray this morning? Thank you, Lord. Ananias, here am I, Lord. The Lord is calling you today. He has a task for you. Would you be able to say, here am I. I'm available. I'm willing. I'm faithful. This morning, I want you to grab this three simple attitude. Available. Willing. And faithful. And see how your life will change. What doors will be open to you. And if you are saying to God, I am available, I'm willing, I'm faithful. Stand up where you are. And say, Lord, what is my assignment? What is my next assignment, oh God? Whether it's a small assignment or a big assignment, Lord, I'm available. I am willing and I am faithful. If you are willing to do that, you do not know what opportunity, what hearts are crying for someone who will come to them and touch their life with the love of God. I ask you, if you are available, you are willing, you are faithful, stand up this morning and say, God, here am I. Here am I, O God, that may I be what you call me to be. Father, I pray for every brothers and every sister that stands before you. They are your child, God, who respond to your call of being available, of being willing, of being faithful, God. And I ask, Lord, that you release assignment to them. Your assignment, oh God, that needs to be carried out, oh God. You release it to them. And may they be able to see the great things that you are doing in their life. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we all stand up together? Next week, I'm preaching on live out our love in Christ likeness. And I believe it will be a very interesting subject. Let's lift our hands to Him. May the blessing of the Father, the blessing of the Son, and the blessing of the Holy Spirit be upon you throughout the week. May you shine with his countenance, with his glory, and with his life. May you live powerfully in the faith that is in you, the hope that you hold, and the love that abounds in you more and more. I pray God will step into your life, into your situation, into your home. I pray that God will intervene and he will make his will and his plan known. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.